Cause I want my freedom, I want my freedom, I want my freedom, ain't scared of nobody. Cause I want my freedom, I want my freedom now.
We had the confidence of a Mack truck, recalled Franklin McCain, one of four students attending North Carolina Agricultural and Technical College in Greensboro, who, after being denied service at a Woolworth lunch counter because they were black, refused to get up and leave. The date was February 1, 1960.
It was 1960, the place, the USA. February 1st became a history-making day. Greensboro across the land, the news spread far and wide. Silently and bravely, you took the giant stride.
Similar sit-ins quickly spread across the South. Charles Jones was in divinity school at Johnson C. Smith College in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I heard this news report, and today, four young black students from A&T College went down to Woolworth in Greensboro and vowed to keep coming back until they were able to be served. And I said, yeah, woo, that's the handle for my generation. There's a rock and roll. I walked to the campus middle hall, and there were 222 students, bro. We went to Woolworths.
This sudden, unexpected surge of young activism caught the attention of SCLC Executive Director Ella Baker. She wrote to sit-in leaders inviting them to meet each other in conference at Shaw College, her alma mater. Charles Chuck McDue, a sit-in leader at South Carolina State College in Orangeburg, who later became a SNCC chairman, remembers wondering, who was Ella Baker?
A person who was sort of advising us in Orangeburg named Reverend McCullum. And Reverend McCullum knew Miss Baker. Reverend McCullum was saying that Miss Baker, you could trust her with your life. That anything she said went. It does have the best interest of the movement in her heart.
And this proved true, McDue and others soon discovered. She was committed to their best interests. Dr. King wanted an SCLC student arm, and the students might have become that, except that Dr. King also wanted a commitment from them to embrace nonviolence as a way of life. At a meeting with Dr. King, McDue spoke up, reflecting the attitude of most in attendance.
Martin said that if we were going to join SCLC, we should accept nonviolence as a way of life. And I said, you know, we just had 1,000 people put in jail, and we were nonviolent all the way, and we've been using nonviolence. But I never thought about using it as, accepting it as a way of life. And I don't think I could make that sort of commitment for the people I represent or for me.
They did decide that they should organize themselves to stay together.
Sherrod talked about, well, we should continue meeting and we should sort of coordinate things. And then there was a discussion about do we have to act, we won't be acting together, but we'll let each other know what's happening in various cities. And so we should have a sort of a loose organization where we could coordinate and talk with each other.
And Charles Jones recalls,
I remember us defining ourselves as the students who had brought this movement from February 1 to April of 60, who had been most effective as articulating our movement as nonviolent, tactically or otherwise, that would work together to coordinate the next phase of the movement of toward freedom.
Basically, what was at play, notes Jane Stembridge, who had become SNCC's first staff person in a corner of SCLC's office given to the new organization by Ella Baker, was resistance to being led by any adult. This was in part a generation gap that would continue throughout the 1960s.
Our team wanted the students to be under the directorship, the leadership of SCLC, mm-hmm. his organization. My feeling was that the students resisted that not only because, not so much that they couldn't subscribe to nonviolence as certainly as a tactic, because SNCC was going in that direction, and hence the title Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. But I felt that the students, including myself, were a little reluctant to be under anybody's leadership rather than our own. We didn't want to be limited to church leadership. And we saw SCLC as a bunch of preachers. And also over in the corner, I felt that Ella Baker was shaking her head.
Having decided that they needed their own organization, the first name proposed was Student Coordinating Committee, says McDue. It is not clear how nonviolent was inserted into the proposed name. McDue thinks perhaps Diane Nash or Reverend James Lawson, both influential and committed to nonviolence as a way of life, may have suggested this addition. In any case, everyone gathered at Shaw was committed to nonviolent activism anyway.
And we agreed with Martin and accepted that and went with SCLC, I think the history of the country would be entirely different. Mm-hmm. The very fact that we did not was one of the most important things that ever happened.
Would you skip to sing another song of freedom?